And it caused me to think. It caused me to sense a love that I wasn't able to feel at the time. So, yes, it's very true. Those cards, being able to look at them really does lift our spirit. I do agree with Michael Vernon Harper that today the message of the resurrection is one of my favorite messages. When I first came to Jesus Christ, I wondered if what I did, what had I just done? I accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, and I thought, oh my goodness, what did I do? Is this true or not? And so I began looking at some writings and evidences of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and what is the evidence for the things that we believe? And I discovered that the message of the resurrection was more powerful than I could ever have imagined it to be. We are finishing up in the book of Luke. We're in the final chapter of Luke, Luke chapter 24. The book of Luke is really followed up by another writing, and that's called the book of Acts. The Acts of the Apostles, if you will, or the Acts of the Church, the new, brand new church that God has created. And so out of the book of Luke, there's kind of a stop here, and the book of Luke concludes. And from here, it's kind of like, stay tuned, because there's more. And Luke goes into the book of Acts, and there's more things that Luke records in the book of Acts that he doesn't record in the book of Luke. But from here is where it all begins, and it's the power of the resurrection. When we think about the message of the resurrection, it's like a booster rocket that sends the Church of Jesus Christ into unstoppable action. It's the undeniable and irrefutable event of Jesus' resurrection that causes his opponents to no longer be able to withstand the work of the church in the world. Because you can argue against all kinds of different things, all kinds of philosophies. You can even argue whether or not this person was a good person or a bad person. But in the end, if you try to argue against the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you will lose the argument. Because Jesus Christ has positioned the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his own resurrection, as the launching point, the thing that tells us that this message of the crucifixion of Jesus is true. And so, really, the resurrection provides a power to the message of the crucifixion, and that no one over 2,000 years has been able to counter. The message of the resurrection has power to change lives. Let's go to our God in prayer of thanksgiving. Father, thank you for your power that is exerted in Jesus Christ. And through that power, Lord, you have declared that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Father, there's so much we could go into today. I pray today, Lord, that you would just help us to absorb the impact of the resurrection in our lives, to understand the meaning and the message of the resurrection, why it is so significant. So, Lord, as we take another look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I pray that it would be with additional thrust, additional power in our lives to be effective for you in the world as we spread the news of Jesus, his work on the cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we go on to Luke chapter 24, Luke chapter 23 ended with Jesus being put into a tomb, his dead and lifeless body wrapped up in some initial grave clothes, put into a cold tomb, a stone rolled in front of it, and left there. And on, as we go into Luke chapter 24, we see a progression of events. First, we see the women that come to the tomb in order to complete the embalming process of Jesus' body. But lo and behold, he's not there. Instead, what they find are these two guys in gleaming white clothes, shining white clothes, and they declare to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen, just as he told you." And it's like, I'm trying to get this through your head, but I'll be nice. You know, he is not here. He is risen. Can you say that with me? He is risen. And so the women go away astounded and rather perplexed because they knew that people who die tend to stay dead. Every ancient person knew that. And so you can't pull a fast one over these women. They know that, wait a minute, what are you talking about? And so the women are perplexed. They are stunned. They go back and they tell the disciples who are in this room. They're afraid of persecution because Jesus had just caused a whole ruckus in the community. And now they're afraid that now that Jesus is dead, now they might be persecuted. Women go back, and now they tell the disciples who are gathered in this room, and they are all perplexed and say, "What are you talking about? We don't believe you. We can't believe you." And there are many other things, details that other gospels talk about. And then the book of Luke then jumps into this section where there are two disciples walking along the road to Emmaus and to a town that's nearby, just walking along, and along comes a third person, and he comes and walks along with them. And they talk about this events that have been happening, but this third person acts like he doesn't know what's been happening. And so these two disciples explain to this third person who's been walking with them what has been going on, and their hope that he was going to be the Messiah, the promised one. As they reached their destination, they stopped. Jesus now took the bread and broke the bread, much as he had done at that Passover meal. And when he had done that, the eyes of the disciples were opened, and they recognized Jesus. Talk about being stunned and startled, surprised. The women were surprised. These two disciples are surprised. They go back, and they tell the rest of the disciples, "It is true. He is risen." And the disciples then don't believe them. Why? Because dead people tend to stay dead. And so now Jesus then appears to them in that room, and now they're all stunned. They're all surprised. Why? Because dead people tend to stay dead. Jesus. It is not sufficient for Jesus to simply die on the cross for us. Jesus has to substantiate or prove or validate that that message of him dying on the cross is true. It is true and real, and we can believe it. So the first message of the resurrection is that, if you look in your notes, faith in Jesus Christ is trustworthy. Faith in Jesus Christ is trustworthy. First Corinthians, later on in the life of the church, some of the believers weren't there at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so Paul had to explain this himself. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, he said, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." So throughout the generations, we find we continue to need to reinforce that our faith is trustworthy. You see, it's amazing that Jesus died to pay the penalty for our sins. That's wonderful. But a dead Savior is not very credible. Yes, he died, but what if, okay, how do I know that he died for my sins? Jesus, in his infinite wisdom, determined that it is not enough to simply die for people's sins. I am going to show them and prove to them that what I did on the cross was true. And so, if anybody dies on the cross, you might believe that person, and there might be true. But with Jesus' resurrection being raised from the dead, Jesus' message is trustworthy, can be trusted. It can be followed. It can be believed. Simon Greenleaf was a professor at Harvard University. And in fact, the Simon Greenleaf School of Law was named after him. And he was a brilliant professor. He wrote 3 volumes on evidence. What kind of evidence is useful and acceptable in a court of law? And he would teach these students. He would even mock Christianity because Simon Greenleaf was not a believer. And one day, some of his students went to him and said, "Hey, why don't you apply these rules of evidence, what you wrote about, to the resurrection of Jesus Christ?" Simon Greenleaf did just that. And after he applied the rules of evidence in a court of law, what can I accept as trustworthy and believable, and what do I have to reject? Simon Greenleaf came to the conclusion that Jesus Christ did rise from the dead. He became a believer in Jesus Christ. Simon Greenleaf, remember that name if you care about that. Simon Greenleaf would go on to say that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is one of the best established facts of history. Adrian Rogers wrote, "The resurrection is not merely important in the historic Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity. It is the singular doctrine that elevates Christianity above all other world religions." So when you think about this, not just as a religion, but as the substance of the religion, ask yourself a couple of questions. Is there any other religious leader who died for their followers, who gave their life intentionally for their followers, to save their followers? Secondly, is there any other religious leader not just died, but rose from the dead and proved that what they said was true? There isn't any like that. Charles Colson said, "The evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ is more powerful than anything else we believe. By his resurrection, Jesus proved he is who he says he is." Amen? Do I hear an amen? Do I hear a whisper of an amen? Okay, all right, that's better. So, Jesus' resurrection, it did this for the disciples. It substantiated, it gave truth to his own disciples. On that road, when Jesus was walking with those 2 disciples, they didn't realize it was the risen Lord. At the end of the discussion, the two disciples said to all the other disciples, the 12 that didn't see Jesus yet, they said, "It is true. The Lord has risen." Can you say that with me? It is true. The Lord has risen. Likewise, the disciple Thomas was not with the disciples when Jesus revealed himself to the disciples. And he said, "I'm not going to believe unless I am right there. I get to touch his wounds and put my hand in his side." After seeing Jesus, Thomas exclaimed, "My Lord and my God." What that means is, it's true. There's no other religion around the world that equates to that. So the message of the resurrection is that faith is first, that faith in Jesus Christ is trustworthy. Secondly, the message of Jesus Christ, of the resurrection, is that we will be resurrected. We will be, can you touch yourself like this? Touch yourself and say, "We will be resurrected." Yeah, you can touch the person next to you and say, "You will be resurrected too if you place your faith in Jesus." Okay, so in John chapter 6, verse 40, Jesus said, "It is my Father's will that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is the Father's will that we be raised up. In Mark chapter 12, Jesus, he really schooled the Sadducees. The Sadducees, see, did not believe in the resurrection. And they tried to find all kinds of convoluted reasons why the resurrection couldn't be true. And one time he said, you know, well, if one person marries this woman and he dies, and brother marries this woman, he dies, he marries this woman. And, you know, you remember me talking about that. And they tried to convince themselves that the resurrection was not true. Jesus said, you come to that conclusion because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. And he said, at the resurrection, there won't be any giving in marriage or marriage. But he's basically saying there is going to be a resurrection. Anyone can make empty claims. But how do we know that Jesus will raise us up? By his resurrection. You will be made brand new. I want you to pause now and think about the ailments that you have, physical ailments. I want you to pause and think about the struggles that you've had, the hurts and the pains that just don't seem to go away. Jesus will make you brand new. Brand new does not mean that God's going to provide more and more medicines and health care repairs to such a degree that you will never die. That's not what it means. Brand new means you're going to be putting away this old body and be given a brand new body, imperishable and immortal. You know, after Adam and Eve sinned, when Adam and Eve sinned, God put a flaming sword between the tree of life and Adam and Eve. Why? So that they, in their sinful state, will not eat of the tree of life and remain in that sinful state forever. It was God's will to have them put away the sinful life so that God can make them brand new. God had a plan. And only when sin is put to death and this old body also dies, then we can live forever in a sinless state in new bodies, resurrected bodies. But let's go further. The simple idea of living forever in heaven is oftentimes people's idea of heaven. But as appealing as that might be, imperishable and resurrected bodies is not God's ultimate goal. God's ultimate goal is eternal relationship with his people. So finally, thirdly, the message of the resurrection is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is real. Jesus is with us. And it starts the very moment you believe and place your life into Jesus' hands. Throughout Luke 24, Jesus surprised the disciples by being where they did not expect him to be. And that's the whole idea. On the road to Emmaus, Jesus was walking alongside, having a conversation with them. They didn't realize it. And then they saw Jesus. When the disciples saw Jesus, they thought he was a ghost. When all the disciples saw Jesus, they thought he was a ghost. This is the second time, by the way, they thought he was a ghost. The first time was when, on that stormy sea, Jesus came walking across the water. Now, why did they think he was a ghost? They thought he was a ghost because Jesus was where they did not expect him to be. The message of this is that Jesus is with us even when we don't know it. And often when we least expect it. Have you ever been in a situation where you feel like God has forgotten you? where you're struggling through an impossible situation and you wonder, God, where are you? It's there that Jesus is walking with you. Jesus said, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. So here's the question. Can we believe that statement? The message of the resurrection says, yes. Say it with me. The message of the resurrection says, yes. Yes. Okay, pretty good. Let's see if we can do a little bit better. Resurrection worthy. The message of the resurrection says, yeah, all right, that's better, all right. And this is what God intended for us all along. In those moments in the upper room, Jesus would say this, if I go, I will prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you may be where I am. John 14:23, my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. John 17:21, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. John 17:24, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am. John 17:3, Jesus said, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. To know Jesus, to be in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, is the highest goal that God has. God did all of this to bring us back into relationship with him. The Apostle Paul understood the message of the resurrection when he said, I want to know Christ, not just know about Christ, and I want to know the power of his resurrection. Not just know the facts that Jesus rose from the dead. I want to have fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, not merely being acquainted with him. Becoming like him in his death, not merely keeping this life going. And so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. The Apostle Paul wanted to experience resurrection life. He wanted to experience resurrection myself. How about you? Can you say that with the Apostle Paul? I want to experience resurrection myself. That was Paul's thought. Because of the message of resurrection, you also can walk and live in full confidence in your faith, in your hope, and in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's all close our eyes today. As the band comes up, I'd like to ask you, if you have never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you to place your faith in Jesus Christ. It is the most well-established fact in history. And Jesus said, I did all this for you. And I invite you now to invite Jesus into your life. And you can do so by simply saying this. If follow me in this prayer, dear Jesus, thank you for your work on the cross. Thank you for offering me eternal life and forgiveness through your death on the cross. I place my faith in you now. I believe you. And I want to know you and walk with you forever and ever. If you've prayed that prayer, Jesus will come into your life. And he'll give you new life starting right now. And I pray that you will receive Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you for this sacred moment when we can join our hearts as the family of believers, look to you, thanking you for the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, our brother, Jesus Christ, to give us an eternal hope that will never perish, spoil, or fade. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Stan. You know, as we grow, I remember when I was young, most important thing was getting that new toy, the Christmas time, getting that toy is the most, it's like, those are the things that were dear to me. It's like getting that special toy that I wanted, like for months. I saw it on a TV commercial, as I wanted that. You get a little bit older, it's like, will that girl say yes if I